commentator Alex Kane with us today. Andrew Murphy with us as well. Good morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen. Welcome
morning,
back.
Morning, thank you. Andrew, morning to you.
Good to talk to you, Stephen.
Morning, morning, morning. Alex, where are we at in this country? And why are people putting up with it? And what on earth is Karen Bradley going to do? What's she going to need to do? Can she really stall this any longer, Alex?
Well, it's not a case of can't. Yes, it's a case she may have to stall it, because I think there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that her hands are tied, as are the Prime Minister's, but with the relationship with the Democratic Unionist Party. They are probably saying, look, if you push the direct rule or close the assembly, that'll, you know, have a knock-on effect on our MLAs and staff and things like that. So she's going to hold that off. The problem is, Stephen, and it's the most absurd situation. And you and I have talked about many absurd things in Northern Ireland politics over the years. We have no executive, no ministers to make a government. It's now been more or less made clear, and I think even a legal review will come up with a similar conclusion, that in the absence of those ministers, civil servants can't just decide how Northern Ireland is governed. We have a situation where maybe even the Secretary of State, in the absence of formal direct rule, she may herself not have the power to make decisions. She won't go for direct rule because, as I say, her hands seem to be tied by the DUP.
What do you mean her hands tied by the DUP?
It may look, Stephen, in the north. Here's the reality. Here's the simple, basic, brutal reality. The job of the Secretary of State, as well as the other stuff when there's devolution, is in the absence of a functioning executive where ministers can make decisions, it is the job of the Secretary of State to provide that government, not just to fill the gap, not just to keep it ticking over, but after almost 16 months, Stephen, somebody has to say, these guys aren't going to make it, they can't win. Whoever's fault it is doesn't matter at this stage. Northern Ireland needs government, it needs clarity on decision making. There's no one else can make that job. That's her call, it's the Prime Minister's call, but I'm pretty sure, you know, even though the DUP will talk about direct rule and say this, that and the other, I'm pretty sure that quietly the DUP are telling the, you know, oh yes, yes, we want direct rule, but quietly they may be telling, you know, Theresa, well, if you go down that route, you know, will we ever get it back together again? What will happen? Will Sinn Féin accept? This could make a bad situation worse. And in terms of both the British and Irish government, Stephen, we still have this situation where both of them agree. They may not say publicly very often, but certainly they agree privately. The Good Friday Agreement and these structures are still considered too big to fail. So if you're asking how long will this nonsense go on for, it could go on for months, Stephen, it could go on for 2 years. Bad for everybody in Northern Ireland. Everyone who wants a decision made, Stephen, everyone who's had a decision made in the past 14 months isn't sure if they have clarity now, because if you have a review which says, well, actually, that decision made in another department doesn't stand either. This is nightmare territory, Stephen, and the government.
It's farcical, actually.
Well, it's not only farcical. We are paying MLAs not to do it. I don't criticise them entirely for that. We're paying them not to do a job. We're also seem to be paying the Secretary of State for not doing her job, which is to provide government in the absence of devolution.
Andre, let me put it like this. The local bowling club, the local corner shop will have people making decisions in order to continue over the next few months. And meanwhile, Northern Ireland PLC can't do it, Andre. Like, is this for real?
I think that's overstating it.
How?
Well, you know,
how is it overstating it if you've got David Stirling saying he needs clarity because he's not now sure if he can make a decision. There's no ministers. Karen Bradley ain't doing it. How is that overstating it?
So I felt that yesterday's statement was a little bit like the statement that was done around the incinerator, that there was a bit of civil service overreach that was quite obvious. So when, you know, the court judgment was handed down, it fitted into the sense that officials had gone well beyond what was reasonable in terms of current existing policies. This was very clearly a new policy. And Justice Keegan reflected that when she talked about it, you know, the overreach of civil servants around that. And I think your unison rep was very good in terms of talking about what policies exist, what's new, what is existing policy that can continue. And they're very clear. So, you know, the idea that the Northwest fits in as some sort of new idea was just stretching it far too far. We know when something is new and when something is a new policy. So something like that new betting legislation is quite clearly very different and would need a minister.
So,
and, you know, no one's under any illusions either. At 12 o'clock of the day that the negotiations collapsed in February, all of the civil servants had an inbox for the incoming ministers that were absolutely filled to the ceiling. There's no doubt about that. There's loads of decisions that have to be made. But let's not kid ourselves. Governance is the reason why the government came down in the first place. So making sure that we have proper governance that is accountable, reasonable, and on the basis of acceptable policy making is something that we need to assure happens going forward.
And the TV leader, Jim Allister, joining the programme now. Your reaction to this, Jim? Good morning.
Well, I think it's long past time that the Secretary of State delivered the primary duty of government, which is to govern. It's quite clear that the steps that need to be taken. She needs to, first of all, revoke the powers that were taken away after St Andrews, whereby Westminster forfeited the right to suspend the Stormont Institution. She needs to reinstate those powers, and then that opens the door to the only place we're going to get government from, and that's by direct rule. And she's shirking that responsibility, I believe, for two reasons. One, she doesn't want to upset Sinn Féin. She wishes to pander to them. And, of course, the ungovernability of the situation suits their agenda perfectly. And secondly, she's trying to use the vacuum as pressure points to try and re-establish a system which has failed, which will fail again. And instead of trying to fix it, they simply want to reinstate it. And therefore, that is the road to nowhere. So the Secretary of State needs to grasp the nettle, get on with it, woman, and give us government.
How do you think people's lives will be affected by this, Jim?
Well, I think people are entitled to have decisions made. And, you know, it's a very simple proposition. You can only get government from one of two places, Stormont or Westminster. We're patently not getting it and unlikely to get it from Stormont. Because they won't fix the system that makes it unworkable, and therefore the only place we can get it is Westminster. And the onus on that lies in the Secretary of State. She needs to bring forward the legislation to enable
but my question,
she needs to get on with it.
My question to you, Jim, is how do you think people are going to feel this over the coming months and years, if at all? Do you think they're going to feel their lives affected by this if this stalemate continues?
Yes, I think we're going to see drift. The High Court ruling this week, and it'll be interesting to see what the Court of Appeal makes of it. But that ties the hands of civil servants. Now, I suppose there's another way the government could tackle that. It could bring in legislation, if that judgment stands, to in fact empower civil servants, but I don't think that's very desirable. That would be a cop-out away from direct rule, which is the step that she should be taking. Its ministers should be taking these decisions. She should be laying the groundwork for the appointment of them. The fallback could be to empower the permanent secretaries, but I think that flies in the face of democratic accountability, and therefore it's very problematic. But we can't go on with this, and I do suspect...
Well, why not?
I suspect the Secretary of State wants us to just go on like this in order to build a momentum to re-establish the unworkable, and that would be a short-term foolishness which would take us nowhere.
Alex Kane, I haven't quite got there with Jim this morning, but what I'm trying to do with my question is for those people that are maybe not involved in politics or interested in politics and the minutiae of it, but they are interested in their own lives, Alex Kane, and the lives of their families and their friends, what type of things do you think they're going to start actually seeing not happening in Northern Ireland?
Well, we don't know in the direct sense, Stephen, because until they've clarified what powers are available, A, to the Secretary of State, and B, to... civil servants, and it's sort of money is allocated, who makes the call? At the end of July, Kelly Armstrong mentioned it, you know, they're going to have to sort out the money problem. Who has the power to allocate that money? Well, two things are worth bearing in mind, Stephen. Even if the government was up and running, in any country in the world, people will always have complained that it isn't doing it, it's wasting money, it's squandering, it's not meeting the needs. That's normal. That's normal politics, first of all. I think the biggest damage in Northern Ireland, I think it's a psychological damage, because most people, Stephen, I know I'm a political nerd. It's what I do. Jim is an elected rep. He's a nerd too. We live and breathe politics. The vast majority of people, politics, it's at a tangent, Stephen. It's what they hear in a headline. It's what they see in a passing newspaper. It's what they maybe hear at the water cooler. The impression they are getting on all sides, and it is worrying, and the politicians really need to take this on board, Stephen. There's a great growing feeling across Northern Ireland. I hear it all the time. I go to lots of panels and conferences and invited to speeches and things like that. So I hear it from the so-called ordinary people.
the impression this place cannot work, this place is not going to work, this place is never going to work. That sends messages to both unionism as a bloc, to republicanism as a bloc, but to the wider Northern Ireland, to the collective Northern Ireland, just the ordinary people, the families, the hospitals, jobs, whatever it is, Stephen, all of us now have that going sense. You know, 20 years ago we thought there was a moment, that's gone, it's never coming back.
Well, I wonder what a young person would think if they're,
thinking to themselves... My daughter's leaving to go to university.
That's what I was going to say.
She's not coming back.
Yeah, I was going to say, a young person thinking, will I go to university in Northern Ireland and spend my life here, or will I go elsewhere? Will I take a job in Northern Ireland, or will I go elsewhere? I wonder what this is all creating with them. Alex, thank you. Andre, thank you. 03030805555. Jamal, sir, before you go this morning, your reaction to this decision in the rest of the UK, it won't apply to Northern Ireland because there's no minister to implement it or to make a decision over it, that fixed odd betting terminals, the maximum stake reduced to £2. What's your view on that, Jim?
Well, I think it should be happening here. I think situation in betting with those machines has got totally out of hand, and it's an urgency. If this is to be done in Westminster by registration, and I suspect it does require that, then since Parliament is sovereign, there is nothing actually to stop Parliament from extending it to Northern Ireland, and I believe that should happen. Parliament, remember, whether you have devolution or not, is the sovereign power. And it can take such powers as it requires.
But Jim, the Department for Communities has told the Nolan Show, gambling is a devolved matter, is regulated here by the Betting, Gaming, Lotteries and Amusements Northern Ireland Order 1985. This legislation predates the development of electronic machines such as fixed odd betting terminals. Their legality can, therefore, only be definitively determined by the courts. Any proposed changes to Northern Ireland gambling law would be for an incoming minister to determine.
Yes, I understand it being a devolved matter. It anticipates that any legislation would be through Stormont. And that it underscores my point that the Secretary of State should be suspending the institutions, should be reinstating direct rule and giving us government. I'm saying there is the possibility that nonetheless there could be an extension of that legislation to the whole of the United Kingdom based on the sovereignty of Parliament. But, you know, there's an easy answer to this, and it is reverse the foolish steps that were taken after St Andrews prohibiting suspension of institutions and appoint direct rule ministers and government.
What about those people, Jim, who say, do you know what, you know, grown adults making the decision to gamble, restricting them in betting shops to £2 a spin when you can go on the internet at home and bet at £500 or £1,000 a spin, that this is farcical?
Well, there is a dimension, and of course I think our legislation has fallen far behind the world in which you live, given the internet. But I think there probably is a need to deal with issues there too. But certainly the fixed betting points in our betting shops have been creating addiction. It does need to be addressed.
They've also been creating jobs.
Well, they have, in that there's quite a flourishing betting industry. But it's still, it's a balance that society has to make between trying to curb addiction, which has far-reaching ramifications way beyond the addicted person, the families and everyone else, and what you might present as personal freedom. I think that in any walk of life, there's a balance to be struck, and I think here it has got out of kilter with these machines, and it is right that it's legislated to restrain it.
Have you ever gambled in your life, Jim?
No, I haven't. Other than coming on the Nolan Show, which is always a gamble.
Yeah, and it'll always be a gamble. Don't you forget it. Mr. Alistair, thank you very much indeed.